We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We're getting started in a brand new week, a brand new month, and we want to thank you for making us part of your journey in February of 2025. Hope your day is going well. If not, maybe we can be the turning point that will get you going in a more encouraging direction, running towards God and His provisions in your life. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And I can tell you this, God has been faithful every step of my journey throughout my life. And I know that that's not an exclusive benefit in my life. I know that His faithfulness is working in your life as well. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Just Concrete, 321-536-5804. Their faithfulness to Merritt Assembly of God through the decades has one of the reasons why we can continue to come and bring the Refresh Radio program to you Monday through Friday, 8:30 of the morning, 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE, and 10:30 of the morning over on WWBC. And as I drive the roads in Brevard County, I see a lot of construction that has gone on, a lot of construction still going on. And a lot of that construction involves concrete having a solid foundation. And through my years, I've seen some concrete jobs that didn't go well. If you've got a concrete job that is in your future, JITS Concrete may be just the people who could help you get it done right and get your project off to a great start. Their phone number is 321-536-5804. They got decades of experience. They got great expertise. They've got a wonderful work ethic, and they want to do the job. They don't want to drag it out for, you know, longer than it has to be. They want you to move forward on your project, and they just want to get it started on the right foundation. 321-536-5804 will get you in touch with Greg at JITS Concrete, and they can put their skills to use on your project. So today we're going to return to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy was a spiritual son of Paul, and he was now a pastor. And so Paul has written to him. This is the second letter to Timothy on top of their personal interactions throughout their lives. And he's telling Timothy how to be successful in this season of his life. And as we're looking at what is some of the things that God wants to teach us in regards to instruction, we have found ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So let me read verse number 20 on down through the end of the chapter, and then we'll pick up from where we left off on Friday. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So let's go back. We were started this section talking about being that there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, containers, and that in God's kingdom, we really need to be intentional about creating an environment of honor, treating one another with honor. And how in our, you know, current system, where, you know, you can basically say things and not face too much in the way of repercussions, that we have devolved into a society that, to a large extent, dishonors people. And I think you can see that in the political landscape. I know you can see it in the human relationships, the interactive relationships. You can see it in business. You can see it in just about every culture. And one of the places where we should not find a predominant culture of dishonor is in the kingdom of God. And so Paul has instructed him on how to be a vessel of honor, and that has involved being cleansed, that he's valued, that he's sanctified, and he's useful for the master. He's useful, it goes. I on the way into the radio studio, I was reviewing in my mind that concept of usefulness. We talked about that on Friday. And, you know, I remember having a staff person that had grown up in an environment where the parent, I think it was a single-parent household at that time, but the parent had a substance abuse issue. And this staff member said, "I grew up understanding what worthless meant. It meant that I was worth less to that person than the substance was to that person." And when we understand that people are of higher value, worthy of honor to a greater degree than anything that else that is trying to control us and devalue us, then we understand that people are not worthless, they're priceless. And so bringing that same thought, I thought of, you know, that we should be useful for God. You are meant to be useful for God. There's another word that is termed, and that is useless. You know, if a company determines that you are useless to them, then they will eliminate that position. And then there was another word that came to mind, and that was abuse. And I know I didn't pronounce that the way that we normally say it. We normally say it abuse. I just threw that in there, where people use animals or people, they use them in a way that they were never intended to be used, and that is abuse. And so I want you to know that if you have lived in an ungodly environment, the devil will abuse you. And I know that there has been some abuse that has come into the kingdom of God. And whenever that happens, it makes headlines, not because it happened, but because everyone knows that should never happen in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God should be about being useful for the master, not abusing people or resources for our own carnal gains, you know, be it financial means or physical or whatever it means. There can be emotional abuse, using it in the wrong manner. And so our goal should be to be useful for the master. And so this is where we're going to start the next portion, the next phrase in this passage. And it says, prepared for every good work. And so the very first December that we did the Refresh radio program back in 2013, I spent the entire month of December talking about preparation. I really like the ability to be spontaneous from time to time, and I get that from one of the pastors that I work for. He did a lot of preparation, but he didn't want to go overboard to where he leaned upon his preparation that he couldn't be sensitive to the direction of the Holy Spirit if the Holy Spirit, you know, steered things in a different direction. And if we're not careful, that desire for spontaneity can lead us to a lazy approach in life, and that is where we do not prepare. So if you are listening to me and you're an adult, I want to talk to you. You need to prepare for heaven. This life is preparing us for eternity. It's either going to be an eternity in heaven, or it's going to be an eternity absent from the presence of God in hell, on the lake of fire. You don't want that. And so you don't get to heaven by accident. You get to heaven by preparing your heart in the sight of God, preparing by letting Jesus forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. So we need to prepare for that. We also need to prepare ourselves for the future seasons that we are going to have in our life. And one of the displeasant, unpleasant aspects of life is preparing your legal documents should anything happen to you, should the Lord tarry. And nobody likes to talk about that. And because it's uncomfortable, people want to kind of hide it under the rug. And I want to encourage you, do not postpone those things, because you never know what tomorrow holds. And if we do not prepare, then we have set others up to have to make decisions and do preparations that we should have done that they didn't do. If we don't prepare many times, then we tie the hands of those that are surviving us. And so I want to encourage you, prepare not just for eternity, but prepare for passing the baton and leaving a legacy of honor. So Paul specifically talks to Timothy, and he says be prepared for every good work. As I was reading in the lexicon, they used the word readiness. Be ready, instant, in season, out of season, be ready. And the word readiness sparked a picture in my mind where that is the, let's see, what is the word I'm looking? That is the metric for our military. Is, are they in a condition of readiness? Are they prepared to use their skills, their training at a moment's notice? Are they prepared with the intelligence, with the resources, with the tools, with the training, with the personnel? Are they ready? And so I would ask you today, are you in a position of readiness for God to be able to use you for every good work? Every simply means every, or it means all. And good is good, or doing good, or being kind. And so we need to be prepared for that. So in the month of January, I was blessed to be able to go and get new glasses. I actually lost my glasses last year. I'm not talking misplaced them. I'm talking lost them. I know the day that I lost them. I just don't know where. And it was a large geographic region. I went to go down and pick them up from right where I had placed them, and they weren't there anymore. it was a I was outside, the heavens opened up, and really, really, really bad weather, lightning dancing all around, and there was no finding them. There was not an opportunity to go find them. And so 2025 rolled around. I went, had my eyes checked, and my wife is my fashion consultant. She picks out almost all my clothes. Every once in a while, I surprise her. And so I said, you know, I've had basically the same style of glasses ever since I was a teenager. I said, I'm looking for something just a little bit different. I said, I don't want to go too crazy, but I'd like to try something different. So we went and we looked at some glasses, and I said, now, I don't go to the doctor for the prescription until tomorrow, and then I will come back. And said, okay, well, you just take a picture of this tab right here. That tells us where we would find this particular frame. And it's like, okay. And I said, all of a sudden I looked around the store and I was like, well, how did you get to that? And, you know, they explained to me their system, which took me back to my very first day working in retail. Many, many decades ago, I was told to go into the stock room and see what I could figure out. And I went back there, and all of the boxes looked the same. It was a shoe job. Said, well, what did you figure out? I said, I figured out that I don't know what the system is here. If somebody came and told me what they wanted, I'd probably never be able to find it. And the manager of the shoe store said, well, we need to explain to you the system. And then all of a sudden, everything made sense. So as I moved on in my retail career, I brought order to every stockroom that I ever managed and made sure that everything was where they were supposed to be so that the employees could find them. I mean, it was back in the days when there were full service shoe stores and all of that. And you didn't just walk in and try something on. You actually had someone there to help you. So he was sending me back there to prepare me so that I could do the job. The word work here is ergon in the Greek. It's where we get the word ergonomics, where you work in a manner that is not going to hurt you. So this word here that Paul tells Timothy to be prepared for every good work. By the way, I will say this. A lot of times people get saved. I see this on an international scale right now. There's been some very famous people who've made confessions of faith, and because they are so radically different than the way that they lived their life before, I see a lot of promoting them. Because they have a testimony, praise God for that. But I, as a pastor, I'm also protective of them in that we can't elevate them beyond that which their spiritual development will be able to sustain them at. They're used to a level of celebrity, and being a celebrity is very, very difficult on your mental approach to life. A lot of people think they want to be famous, and they're not prepared for the downside of fame. So I'm protective of people. I don't want to set them up. So Paul would write saying, you're not supposed to elevate a novice. You're supposed to allow them time to develop. A 5-year-old is not going to be able to do or be able to lift, be able to process the same things that an adult would be able to process. So you've got to work in a manner that is healthy, that is befitting of a person's spiritual development. And so Here again, the word work is work or duty or task or workmanship. So God works on us, works in us, works for us, works through us, so that we are a masterpiece of his workmanship. It is a word that is describes the task assigned by the master to be accomplished. So it's not something that we just pick up. So I got sidetracked a little bit there. A lot of people have come to me through the years, and they want to go right to the front of the line. They want to go right to the platform, right to the speaking, and they don't ever allow God to do the preparation in them. And, you know, if you don't have a solid foundation, if you've not heard much, so you're not doing much, whenever you do something, you don't want that house to come crashing down. So the master has things that he wants accomplished, and he wants us to be useful, and he wants us to be prepared for that task. So it also is, in the lexicon, it says it is work that requires steadfastness. It requires commitment. It requires faithfulness. It requires not being moved as an individual away from God's purpose for your life and my life, but instead, when God has planted us specifically, that we know what it is like to be able to be immovable and withstand the season of storms. And so another phrase that I have written down here is, by the way, let me just finish this. We're supposed to be immovable from the mission that God has for us. So we're not double-minded. We're not tossed to and fro. We're committed and planted and held in place by the faithfulness of God, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so whenever I see that work, and then I bring that concept of abounding in the work of the Lord, I realize that the assignment that God has for me will lead me to abundance in purpose and usefulness and fulfillment. And so God's work that he has for us, the best place that you could ever be is right in the center of God's will. So verse number 21 concludes, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. I pray that is true not only for pastors and teachers, but for everyone who is sitting in the house of God. Verse number 22 says, flee also youthful lust. So a lot of times people are of the mindset that young people are the only people that face temptation. So as I was preparing to come in and do this program, I was studying, I was praying, I was listening, and all of a sudden I realized why Paul told Timothy to flee from youthful lust. And that's because Timothy was young. Because Timothy was young, there was going to be some desires that he had in that season of his life that, left unguarded or left uncontrolled by the Spirit of God and by the spirit of self-control, they could be distracting or get him off course, get Timothy off course, which led me to this reality. What season of life are you in? I'm according to an article that I read in 2024, I'm in the decade of one of my most fruitful seasons. A lot of us in our society think that usefulness happens when we're young. That's not necessarily the case. There may be some pointing in the right direction. There's a lot of energy, but there may not be a lot of life experience, a lot of wisdom that we've gained at that point in time. And one of the things that I say is I'm thankful when God brought me to Merit Assembly of God that there were, as I was learning and, you know, made a few mistakes along the way, just like you have in your journey, that there weren't a lot of people who were negatively impacted by those mistakes, you know, that weren't intentional. There was just not the experience that I had or that I have now and do I have then. So now when a person comes to me and asks me to pray, some people from the radio program send in prayer requests, and it's my honor to be able to pray with those things, with those people, to see those prayer needs become testimonies. But I've got some personal experience in some of those areas. I can pass that along and say, hey, this, I'm going to be praying for you about them, but these may be some of the things that will help to build your faith. So, Timothy was young. We may not be in the season of youth, but I guarantee you that in this world that there are desires that people have in whatever season you're in. And we are supposed to, in our season, do what Timothy did in his, and that is we are supposed to flee or make an escape from the ungodly desires that are common for people in the world in the season that we are in. And so I'm not retired. I don't see retirement happening anytime soon. I'm seizing this season and saying, you know what, God, make me useful for your glory in this season. And one of the ways that I can do that is to understand that the desires, the cravings of this world, the things that people covet without God, are things that I'm not supposed to embrace. I'm supposed to flee from. And because I recognize they're part of the flesh, they're part of the enemy's distraction, and I don't want any part of the devil's plan for my life to be successful. I always want to do what God wants me to do. I never want to do what the devil wants me to do. And I need my spirit to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Word so I know the difference between the two voices. And I pray that that is the same in your situation. So I pray today that you, like Timothy, will be prepared for every good work, useful for the master, and you will also be fleeing.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Oh, come, oh, come.